But I had the privilege to go to Wilderness Trail Bible Camp, a camp that does not exist no more, and there was Missions in Focus there, and that was in 1991. And just after this camp, I believe it was after that camp that we had then the conference. Maybe not. That's not so important. But this is where the Lord touched my heart in a very special way, and I had that evening, that very evening, a new beginning. Because I realized suddenly that there is a purpose for us to live on this earth, and that many people are going into a lost eternity. And I was living my life of fun and just endeavoring for and looking for things that were just all maybe giving me some joy, even though it was not true joy in the inner heart, but looking for things that were all good for me, how I would go somewhere, do something, become someone. And at the same time, there were people going to hell. And this struck me so clearly that from that time on, I decided I'm going to put away all my CDs, all my music. I'm not going to listen to no secular music no more. I tell you, young people, if you listen to secular music, it is almost impossible for you to have a relationship, a clear relationship and with the Lord Jesus. My father was telling me that at this time, and I didn't believe him. But I must say, looking backward, this is true. You cannot live a spiritual life and always get this influence of secular music. There's no way. And even with Christian music, I challenge you to be careful what kind of so-called Christian music you're listening. Because that music can harm you a lot. It puts you in a constant mindset that you don't want to have. Because when you open the scriptures, suddenly the scripture is not talking to you. And there's nothing wrong with the scripture, I can assure you that. So that's one of the points that I decided there. Secondly, I decided I will ask to be in fellowship. I will take my place at the Lord's table, because I realized the Lord Jesus has died for me, and now he says, do this in remembrance of me. So how can I now say it's not time yet? Well, and the brother came again. That was probably the American way. In Europe, nobody would do that. He said, after the breaking of bread, he said, what is holding you back not to break bread? I was like, and I just had this change in my heart, so there was nothing else left that would hold me back, really. I was decided to follow Jesus, and so what would hold me back? So I went home, and next thing I asked to come in fellowship, and that was with 18. Then I did what I could in my neighborhood. And I don't say these things to glory in them, because there's nothing special about it. But I went to a city, took some tracts on a Saturday, and would give them out. First 300, then 500, and then the Lord gave me strength for 1,000. And 50% said no, so I had spoken to 2,000 people in one day. Unfortunately, that first flame of first love would dim and get colder a little bit, and so I was not doing it every Saturday. And I had, I will pass now a lot of time, because I've had many experiences that I could say where I've been talking with people and so on, but it is just all in the normal life. I was becoming an interior decorator at the time, then I had to go to the army, wasn't the presidential guard, and then I had to continue my studies and did some business studies. And during all that time, I was with some people in contact that needed the Lord, and I did not always witness to them. You see, you have times in your life when the fire is burning, and you have other times when it's not the case. And that is true for me. And you know, that's even true for me today. That can be true even on the mission field. Sometimes you have always your tracts with you, and you give them out. And sometimes you just, there's so many other things that getting your strength and your attraction and so on, attracting your thoughts. And so these are things that are real, that are practical, and you go through them, I go through them, but this should not keep us back to be motivated for the Lord, because it's only the look up to the Lord, when we look to him and what he has done for us and who he is, only then we get the right flame. is not something about motivational talks and just now we try to speak to your heart and you hear all these messages, wonderful. But it is more than this. It is getting the right attitude before the Lord and saying once in your life, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated unto thee. That's the important part. You have to come to your life to a point where you say, Lord, I surrender all. And there's a wonderful hymn about that. I surrender all. And that's the point where you have to get to. And then the Lord Jesus will be the one that you will love the most. I will very briefly now, because time is running, I see, just let you know that the Lord can exercise your heart sometimes in your life where you then feel that you should even serve Him in another area maybe. And that is maybe the call. If we speak about a call, don't wait for no miraculous call to give out tracts to be a missionary where you are. Don't wait for that call. It's when you want to move somewhere, then you need the call. And maybe that move leads you into full-time service also. And for that, you need a clear call, because what is then going to happen to you and the attacks of the enemy, you better be sure then. And I would love to have a little more time, but I know time is limited tonight. But all I can say is this, that the Lord spoke to my wife and me again in 2003 at this very conference. Then we went to visit St. Kitts and Nevis, but we went to visit only after considering it well, because we knew one thing. Once we start and you go to a mission field and you do these visits, then people start to talk and you get all kinds of information. Some say, yes, go. Others say, oh, be careful, don't do that, you have a little family and so on. So what we said is this, we don't want anybody to know, and we want the clear answer of the Lord. If possible, please, Lord, give us an answer. We prayed that, and that was on the Sunday, and we had a babysitter, I don't know why. So my wife would come with me. We went to the meeting and we said, before that meeting, I prayed with my wife. I said, in that meeting, Lord, because we need to know now if we should go or not, please let us know. A visiting brother came. He got up and he spoke about Philip, how he was sent into the wilderness to Gaza to speak to this Ethiopian guy. And he said, and you must know, Nevis, it's a very small island, very small, 11,000 people. I'm not going to give no more details, you can ask later. And we were thinking, it's also a very Christianized island. We were thinking, is it worth it? Is it really the call? Is it really the Lord that wants us there? The brother was there standing and he said, maybe the Lord tells you, go you there. But you think there are only so few people.